Sometimes on retreat, I just salute the shrine morning and evening. But at the moment, I'm really enjoying just that sound of lots of order members all just doing the salutation together. And also, I think it's particularly important on a spiritual receptivity retreat just to keep opening that channel, that sense of connection to the Buddha, connection to the three jewels. To have that sense of receptivity to something deeper, something much more fulfilling, something quite mysterious that goes way beyond any ego project that I could ever come up with. So this afternoon we're going to carry on looking at just sitting in relation to integration. And when this session's over, we'll have a period of silence just until supper so that we can absorb and just keep that relaxed awareness going undistractedly. And then we'll be back in silence from this evening's puja until the morning session tomorrow at 10:30. And then from later on tomorrow, we'll go into a long period of silence. So just to forewarn you. So this morning, we looked at relaxed awareness, and we did that exercise where we focused on the breath, and we started by really bringing a very sharp awareness to the breath. But that way of practice, although it cuts through a lot of distractedness and can be useful to start with, isn't a long-term way to practice. If you practice at that level of intensity for very long, your mind just gets tense. And when your mind gets tense, it produces thoughts. That's what it naturally does. If you squeeze it, it's like a balloon. And the sort of, you squeeze the balloon in the middle and it sort of just comes out the sides. And what it comes out as is just lots of thinking. So then we throttled back and we tried to find a point where we were very relaxed, we were quite at ease, but there was still that clarity and awareness there. And then we added in a third element, which was enjoyment. So we were looking for a way of being with the breath which was clearly aware, clearly knowing what was happening, but then using as little effort as possible to sustain that without being distracted and focusing on enjoyment. Because once the enjoyment's there, then your mind likes to enjoy things. So it's very happy to stay with what it's enjoying, as we know. So we'll keep coming back to relaxed awareness as the days go by. And then we also did that basic exercise in just sitting where we went through the different senses, and with each one we just allowed what was happening to happen. Just sitting is an experience of awareness without craving and aversion. It's awareness without selfing. So we were just practicing being with the sensations in the body, being with sounds, sights, tastes, smells, and even thoughts. And just letting them be there, but not identified with them. Somebody in the break this afternoon was saying that they'd always thought of just sitting as being about being in a state of no thought. If that happens, that's great. But actually, thoughts are not the problem. thoughts aren't the issue. There's nothing the matter with thinking. None of us would have got here to Adishtana for this retreat if we hadn't thought about it. So the issue is that we identify with thoughts, we identify with thinking, we take thoughts as real and we cling on to them, or alternatively, we take thoughts as real and try and get rid of them to a state of no thought. So yeah, in that exercise that we did, thinking could be there, feelings could be there, they're all just an adornment of our experience. As long as we're not getting lost in them, not getting identified with them, not clinging onto them or pushing them away. And one of the issues with just sitting is that there are no landmarks. If you do the mindfulness of breathing, it's clear whether you've counted to 10 or not, say. There's a clear focus, and that helps some kind of little alarm bell go off if you just lose awareness. Same with metta bhavana. Any structured practice where there's something clear that you're focusing on, when that focus is gone, then you've obviously lost awareness. But with just sitting, the focus is just whatever's there. So it's not that you're focusing on this as opposed to that, which means that alarm bells don't go off in the same sort of way. In that sense, it's more sort of featureless. And the danger of that is that you can easily get into a rather mediocre drift with just sitting and feel, unfortunately, some people can even feel that that is the sort of choiceless awareness and that is just sitting. So one of the advantages of working with integration is that it avoids wasting our time with that drift, that unaware drift, which Lama Tilman, who guided my long retreat, sometimes called klesha soup. You just get lost in the klesha soup. Because without awareness, if you're not directing your mind, then your mind does what it always does. And what our minds, even as good Dharma practitioners, often do, if we just leave it to its own devices, is they produce our habitual tendencies. And our habitual tendencies are to produce kleshas. And sitting there producing kleshas is just producing negative karma, so that's just going to end in tears. So just sitting is not about sitting in any kind of unaware state. If you find that you don't have the awareness to prevent your mind from just going down its habitual ruts, then you need to do some structured practice in some kind of way, or apply some antidote, or whatever it's the time for. But there's no point in just getting into a sort of low level, not very aware state and staying in that. So just sitting does involve cutting through prapancha. It does involve cutting through in some way your associative thinking, if that associative thinking is unaware. If you're a big open space of awareness and within that your mind is just producing a range of thoughts about this and that, that's okay. You're not identified with them. You clearly know that they're there. They're just what's going on in your mind. But if you're carried away with them, then you've lost the practice. We could spend the entire time together just looking at prapancha and ways to take it apart and understand it. And actually, that leads very deep. It leads right into our fundamental kind of drivenness to think, which comes from a fundamental sort of drivenness to feel that we exist. So, you know, there's a lot of mileage in really looking at prapancha. We're not, yeah, we won't go that way on this retreat. But we do want to be making sure that we aren't just following our habitual tendencies and that there isn't just mental drift going on, unaware mental drift. And one way to cut through that, one tool that's very powerful for doing that, is just to use the filter of seeing whether or not we're in the present moment or not. Because most prapancha, most of that associative habitual thought, well, actually all of it relates back to us, to it's all an expression of selfing in some way or another. Even if I'm thinking about my poor sick aunt, still I've created this sense of me at the centre of the world, and yes, I care about that person, but still that whole train of thought has a self-reference to it. So, in order to create a sense of self, we need a past and a future. We create a sense of self through a sense of something continuing through time. So when we really bring ourselves to the present, our sense of selfing, that tendency, starts to be severely undermined. And the thinking that goes with it, a lot of which is kind of reassuring ourselves that we do exist, and we always did, and we always will, all that thinking is also undermined. So in some of what we'll do this afternoon, I'll be encouraging you to just check that you're really coming into the present moment and staying there. So before we do some meditation, I just want to introduce one more thing, which some of you will have come across if you've been on retreat with me before. And this is a very simple little practice called Barlung in Tibetan. Spelled B-A-R-L-U-N-G. B-A-R. Bravo, Alpha, Romeo. L-U-N-G. Lima, Uniform, November, Golf. I once set up a small travel agency as a right livelihood business. So, Barlung. And Bar means something like between. The Bardo is the intermediate state, the state between one way of being and another, particularly said one life and another. Lung means energy, or can mean breath. So Barlung is a way of practicing which works with the breath, which isn't a pranayama exercise. We're not forcing the breath in any way at all. It's quite natural. But we are using the breath as a focus. And it's very, very simple. I'm actually doing it as I'm talking to you. So all we're doing is we're being aware of the breath, or the movement associated with the breath, down in the area below the navel. We know this. This is one of our traditional antidotes. It's an antidote to restlessness and anxiety. If you do So mindfulness of breathing, and there's lots of restlessness and anxiety. One recommendation is that you bring awareness down in the body. So you're working with the breath, being aware of the breath, feeling this area down below the navel. But the whole context of it is very relaxed and easy. So the instructions that go with this are that it's as if you just had a really good meal, say. And maybe it's winter and you've had a really good meal and now you're sitting by a warm fire. And there's just that sense of being comfortable, at ease. There's nothing you want. Yeah, you've been satisfied. There's a sense of deep sort of satisfaction with it. So the breath is just happening down in this area below the navel. But that whole area down here is as relaxed as possible. So it's just being moved by the breath. Another image that came up in long retreat was, if some of you ever saw The Jungle Book, you'd get Baloo the bear, who's this kind of cartoon character, and he's got this big kind of belly, and he's very kind of easy in how he moves. Or Winnie the Pooh, Pooh the Bear. Such a stereo. He's just very easy, and there's something very kind of relaxed about that. So we're breathing with that sense. So there's awareness there, but there's a lot of relaxation. And it's interesting that most of the traditions which work a lot with just sitting, like Soto Zen or Mahamudra or Dzogchen in Tibetan Buddhism, they all put quite a lot of emphasis on this area below the navel. It does seem to be very helpful in working into just sitting. So we'll do a period of meditation and we'll explore Balong a little bit and we'll explore the present moment. So all these practices are integration practices, you could say. We're grounding ourselves in the body, grounding ourselves in the present moment. We're coming to our actual experience. And all this is setting up a helpful set of conditions for just sitting, so that our just sitting is real just sitting, not just drift, not just unaware. It's sharp and clear, but it's very relaxed. So we'll start once again by just doing nothing for a minute or two. If you have a busy life, so often meditation just becomes another thing on your to-do list. And that's really unhelpful. It just builds up all the wrong associations with meditation. There should be a sense with meditation of no time pressure, nothing to do. Just freedom. They're the kind of mental states we're looking for. So we have to take meditation right out of that got to be done in time for breakfast in order to do the next thing kind of mentality. So we just have some space. we're ready, if we feel it's right, no pressure, free offer, we could bring our awareness to our connection with the ground. Start by finding the actual sensations of pressure and warmth that tell us that we're seated on the ground. It's as if we let ourselves sink into those sensations, just relax into them. Out of that solid base, the body rises up. So even if you're lying on the ground, there's a sense of spaciousness between the vertebrae of the spine. Feeling our way into the body, into the sensations, feeling the live unfolding, this wonderful process that we call the body, moment by moment. And bringing a relaxed awareness to it. So we're not searching for feelings and sensations and locking onto them. So if we're just open, letting them come to us. Now let's be particularly aware of the breathing. noticing how the waves of the breath affect the area below the navel. Letting that area be the center of awareness. And letting it be as easy and relaxed as possible. As we're breathing like this, cultivating a sense of warmth and ease. So if each breath is really satisfying. letting the area below the navel be as soft as possible, very receptive. Welcoming each wave of the breath. Just being breathed. Just another couple of minutes. So that was a little practice of Barnum.